Fix in your mind that preaching's bottom line is transformed lives. That's our key sentence for this SermonCoach.com podcast. Welcome. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. We're talking today with Dr. David Maines, the executive director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. David, I believe you have a preaching tip that might be very germane to our key sentence. Would you read that to us?
I'm reviewing what I wrote some months back, and I'm in my mind remembering the occasion that prompted what I wrote. Here are my words. He seemed like a likable person. Then when the young man stood to preach, the impression his initial words made was one of sincerity and humility. There's no question but what his listeners were following him. There were frequent amens, and when he finished giving a personal illustration of his own failure and brokenness, some even stood to their feet and applauded. His sermon was no more than 25 minutes, and he not only stuck to his text, he made it come alive. I'm sure most people would say his message was very good, if not exceptional. I would like to be in agreement, except that I don't think anyone's life will be all that different as a result of hearing him preach. I know I harp on this a lot, but preaching's bottom line is changed lives. And I don't think anyone that morning will be all that different as a result of what was heard. In short, there wasn't a transformation factor. Granted, I don't know how I'm all that qualified to judge the results of this person's message, but that's just my point. His words were so general that there was no way to measure their input, and unfortunately, that's true of most of the sermons I hear. I don't know how many times I've written this, but early on in the sermon preparation process, a preacher needs to determine not only the subject his sermon is about, but the specific response being called for. And with this young man's message, I would speculate that it was to hope in the Lord. What that means or how that's done was never made clear, hope in the Lord, at least not to me as a listener, it wasn't. So I left the service thinking, I hope there's someone along the line who helps this young man because he has real potential as a preacher. That's important, Lord, because if he doesn't improve, the best he's going to get from listeners is that was really good or how interesting or very helpful or challenging, but he's not going to know the joy of seeing lives transformed because a powerful word spoken by one of God's well-taught servants, I probably could pull back memories of many people I've heard speak, Dean. And that's the same thing. When it's all done, people liked it. There was a factor of I'm with you, you know, and because this fellow was probably in his early 20s, there was that sense of good for you, you have potential. But as far as that specific sermon, though the one illustration, and I will probably never forget that illustration of his own failure and brokenness and a contrite heart, still what he said didn't really go anywhere. And there was not this factor of, here's where I see my words can be of help to you. This is how I need you to respond. And this is how you'll be able to tell whether you've done that or not. It never got into that kind of a thing. It was just kind of, I would say almost the sermon was a personal testimony. And in that sense, I guess generally speaking, it could have been an encouragement to people. Maybe even then not so much because his failure was almost so unique to him that it was, you know, saying God is good, and that's where the applause came. God still loved you at the end of some of the things you did. But that's a huge problem in ministry. The sermon just doesn't go anywhere. And it's because it wasn't thought out early on in the process of preparing the sermon. What is it I want to have happen as a result of my words? How do I want these people to respond? How do I help them respond? And so on. I'm on to my Johnny OneNote thing again, aren't I?
Well, but it's an effective way of developing a sermon to zero in on what the subject of the sermon is. And then once you have a clear subject, either as a result of studying the text that's been chosen for you or the text that you've chosen for that particular worship service, or it could be that a topic that God has impressed upon you becomes the subject, and then God reveals to you a scripture passage that supports that. But once you have that subject nailed down, then you must ask yourself, what response do I want from the people that are going to hear this sermon? Then when you determine the kind of response you want, You then have to come up with some ways of helping those people make that response. We call those the how-tos. And then you have to examine what kind of time frame is involved in this. What investment are people going to have to make before they begin to see a result of their response? And then the last step that we encourage people to do is to take the subject and the response and boil it down into a sentence. That sentence helps set the tone for remembering what the preacher has preached, because it's very important if the sermon is going to impact lives that people remember it more than just up to the point where they walk out into the parking lot of the church. So that methodology has application in this very example that you've given. So let me ask you this, David. If you were to sit down with this young man and taking the sermon that you heard, some of the coaching things that you might say to him, what would you say to him?
I would probably say, I wish that we could have done this before you preached the sermon. But as a helpful guide, just in terms of the next one, let's go back and say, what were you talking about? And probably from his text and from just remembering what he said, it would be hope in the Lord. Now, that's a very good biblical phrase, hope in the Lord. The problem is, what does it mean? So you want people to hope in the Lord. How do they do that? And how did you do that in the illustration that you gave? So let's get that down. And if no one else, I didn't understand what you were asking for. And that's what I think you were saying, but you didn't say that's what you were saying. So what was your subject? What were you talking about exactly as you are? What was the response you wanted? And once I got that in my head, then I want to go back with you and say, is that in what you talked about in the sermon? So we're kind of reviewing what went on. And I think that it would be very uncomfortable. People who don't ask for help, it's hard to give them help. So if he came to me and asked me to be of help to him, unfortunately, the response was such to his message that it was kind of like a young man trying something and everyone patting him on the back, and he felt very good about it. And I think that I probably would not try to pop that bubble. I would probably say, I heard what you did, and let's look at the next message, and let me show you how to craft that. So that I would get him away from the emotion of his good feelings. I don't think I'd want to destroy that. So then the question is, let's start over again, and in this next one, see if we can make it a little bit more clear. You know, it's hard, Dean. It's hard to be a mentor. If somebody had, in my early ministry, told me how I should preach, I don't think I would have been real receptive. It was still all new to me. I was trying things. I was learning, you know. I go back because I have notes on a lot of those early sermons, and I critique myself, and I think that was really bad. You know, now I wonder if I had somebody critique me now in terms of my sermons, if they might say the same thing. I don't think so. I know enough in terms of the very thing that is bottom line to me of transformed lives. Of people saying to me, you know, you spoke at our church 6 years ago, and here's what you said. And that stayed with me ever since. And I think that I now am living the way you talk. So that gives me a great sense of comfort. I guess I'm uncomfortable with your question of me because I really don't want to go in and help somebody who doesn't want to be helped. And I don't think this young fella, I still see him, I know who he is, I know who I'm referring to. I don't think he would say, I want your help. And part of that is because he doesn't know who I am. You know, he has no idea who I am, except that I come and I listen and I'm friendly and I'm older. He knows I'm older. He knows that I've had some kind of a ministry because so many people come up to me and talk to me all the time. He's not ready yet. Someday he may be. At that point in time, then I'd go exactly through precisely what you're talking about. I don't know, when we talk to people and they listen to us, whether they think, who in the world is Dean Wilson? And who in the world is David Maines? And who do they think they are? Because they really don't know squat. I'm far better in terms of analyzing these things than they are. Well, maybe so. Although at the same time, lots of people have been helped, and maybe more will be in the days that are ahead.
One of the things we're saying today, which is something that I would think most thoughtful pastors would agree with, and that is fix in your mind that preaching's bottom line is transformed lives.
Yes, yes.
We want to see minds and hearts of people turn toward God. We want to see spiritual formation created. We want the presence of Christ to come alive in people's lives.
Yeah.
And that's really what it's all about.
Yeah, very much so, yes.
Fix in your mind that preaching's bottom line is transformed lives. We're very grateful that you joined us for this time together, even if you wonder who in the world we are and aren't even sure if we know what we're talking about. We're still glad you've joined us. You've found our SermonCoach.com podcast at our website, SermonCoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We invite you to browse through the rest of our website. We've placed resources there to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. As we always do, we invite you to join us for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.